it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Not really good Tuesday. And it's supposed to snow tonight. Can you believe that?
I know.
I finally cut the grass and it's supposed to snow tonight.
Well,
and it was long overdue. I just have this rule that I never cut grass before May. Because once you start cutting the grass, you have to do it every week. Sometimes almost twice.
Yeah, well, I've already done it twice.
Yeah, and mine could have done it, but again, I have this silly rule that I couldn't apply to. It just gets that bad.
I have to agree, it's silly.
It is.
If it needs it, you just need it. Yeah. But you're right. I was going to play golf tomorrow, and I just don't think we're going to do it. The snow, it may accumulate, too, a little bit.
Is that what they're saying?
Little bit. I mean, it's... But I remember a few times in late April, we got this freak snow, so it's something we can handle. No
Which
problem.
Is why it's absolutely ridiculous whenever they are going to have preseason start the end of March, or baseball season start the end of March.
It's ridiculous.
It is. Because you do expect it in March.
Well, I don't know if they'll play the game tomorrow if it's that cold. Well, of course, they played the opener in March.
They did.
31 degrees, for goodness sakes. That's. I can imagine how the hands of the batters must have felt hitting that thing. It just must have stung. But, hey, now in softball, we can't play under 50 because most of the guys have... what they call carbon fiber bats now.
Okay.
And under 50, they become brittle.
Oh.
So if you hit it, there goes a $200 bat.
Carbon fiber, isn't that metal?
Yeah.
But it can still break.
It'll break under 50 degrees, yes.
Wow.
Some of these guys, now I'm just an average Joe player, if that. But some of these guys have been playing since they were 10. And haven't stopped.
Wow.
They have four or five bats, which, again, run about $200 each. And then they have little socks they put over them to keep them warm. I mean, it's true. And I said, why? Why do you? I said, well, under 50 degrees, that's why we don't practice or play, they'll crack. So... And so, you know,
wow.
That's just, so we'll see. We'll see if there's practice on Wednesday as well. But
you're still in practice mode, right? You're
not everybody's in practice mode until May 11th, I think, our season starts. The old guys out there practicing at Nesmith Lake every day, if it's 50 and over, right there. 224 Manchester Road, in that area, there's a couple fields they use. So it's amazing. It really is amazing how athletic some of these guys still are, well into their 70s. It's inspiring.
Inspiring,
yes. When I grow up, I want to be just like them.
I'm not growing up.
I don't know whether the Indians will play tomorrow or not.
They got a 9-game... home stretch. I hope they do better than them. Although they're
second place.
Second place, and they've got a winning record yet. They're 8 wins.
Well, they got. That was a good series against Chicago. I mean, that run.
Four game we split with them, luckily. Yeah. If you're not going to win it, you better split it.
Did you watch the game where the guy almost hit a perfect game, Rondon?
I did not.
And
he spoiled his own game because he hit the player.
He hit Roberto Perez, the second batter of the ninth.
In the back of the leg or something.
Back of the right, the front leg. And at that point, I was really cheering for him. I really was.
You're going to go that far, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, oh, you got to be kidding.
And how can it be called a no-hitter if he hit somebody? Just kidding.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
No, it means hits. It means hits. He was walked.
I know.
He was walked.
I have to ponder that one.
But you know, it just doesn't make sense. You've got a no-hitter when he hits somebody.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Not too hard.
No, I won't.
Not worth it.
No. It's like one of my puns. So you don't think hard about my puns. So
yeah, that was an amazing game.
Yeah,
amazing
it was.
Performance.
It was amazing, and he ended up getting in the no-hitter. I think that's I saw Len Barker's first game as a wee lad.
The large Lenny's, yeah.
That was
it was on television.
It was on
Channel 8 at the time.
It was on and Joe Tate and Bruce Drennan called that game. I mean, that's how long ago it was, and that was amazing. I'll always remember that date because my brother, younger brother, was bringing his fiancée up to meet us.
Okay,
and they come over to my brother's house, and I'm there watching. We're both watching this Indians game, and we're not paying attention to her because it's in the ninth inning, and this guy's pitching a perfect game.
A perfect game, yes.
And sure enough, Rick Manning made the last out, and wow, that was exciting. The only other time, too, I mean, besides the one last week, and that was they were down 8-0, so why not wish the guy a perfect game, right?
Right.
Rondon.
Yeah, our starter couldn't get out of the first inning.
Yeah.
He got two outs and six runs against him.
Yeah, that was who was that? Savali?
I think it was Savali. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bieber was tremendous, but anyway, I'll look.
Bieber has been tremendous he's had two starts and three starts.
Oh, it was Plesac. I'm sorry, it was Zach Plesac.
Okay, exactly.
Savali's doing well. He couldn't get out of the first inning.
Right.
But the other perfect game, it should have been a perfect game, was I think the pitcher, it was Detroit.
Yes.
And you know who I'm talking about. Gagliarraga, I think was his name, the pitcher. And Jim Joyce made the infamous call safe at first, and he was out by a good step. He choked. Jim Joyce, the umpire, choked on that call.
Right. And
he
unfortunately received death threats for that.
Yeah.
And that was before a coach could challenge.
That's right.
I think it was the next year they put him in the coach challenge.
Year or two, yeah, before that.
Yeah.
Because clearly he was out. And so he had a hit and not only ruined the perfect game, but the no-hitter as well. And he was never the same again, that pitcher. I don't think he's out of the game.
Well, he wasn't a great pitcher.
No.
That was his once-in-a-lifetime game.
And Jim Joyce blew it. The umpire, absolutely. They should have made an exception and said, "Hold it, this is too important of a call to let hang there and call for a replay." But maybe that wasn't at their disposal then. But I think the manager was thrown out. It was Jim Leland at the time. And Rick Manning was just beside himself. I remember that. He says, "We got to go replay. This is ridiculous." The man was clearly out, even though
And I'm sure they threw it up on the board, did they not? Of course, they don't in baseball because umpires can call the thing and tell me, "Shut off your board now."
Yeah.
They have the power to do that.
They do, but maybe back then. Now they almost every play is replayed on the. I think.
On the big board?
On the big board.
Okay.
But on this particular case, it was clearly out. I don't know what he was thinking.
He probably blocked a certain kind of angle.
Maybe he was.
But usually those guys, and I tell you, I have to admit that the baseball gets more right calls than any other sport. And sometimes, you know, people are throwing the ball so fast and guys are running. They're running at them and things like that. And they're in the right place and they just make the call. And 9 times out of 10, or even more than that, probably 9 times out of 20, or maybe 19 times out of 20, they're right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they are that good generally that when something like this comes along, it just stands out so much above what a regular one would be.
So this particular pitcher got screwed. He really did.
Yeah, he did.
There's no.
And he was an okay pitcher. But basically, he was a journeyman average pitcher.
That's right.
This was just his game of a lifetime.
Yeah,
and he could have had a perfect game. And I think, didn't he? He was still in there, but I think he lost his concentration or whatever.
No, they went on to win the game.
Right, they did. Because they were far enough ahead anyway. But
the game was so controversial that the game ball at the end was taken to Cooperstown, and although he didn't get credit for a perfect game, that game was recognized by Major League Baseball as the one that got away from the umpire, which is good, but still, his claim to fame is not a one-hitter.
That's probably why the Rule 4, a replay came in, finally.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the next year,
I don't know.
It was pretty close. It was pretty close to that time.
Yeah, but the play itself was clearly it was clearly safe. And sometimes it's a nanosecond, and these guys, like you right. say, are fantastic, being in the right place and watching the ball and hearing. You know, but this wasn't even close. This wasn't even close, and unfortunately, so that was the second. I consider that a perfect game. Because he pitched a perfect game.
We consider it, but he doesn't get
he
that
doesn't
as
get credit.
It. Yeah.
And this one on TV, this one last
but
week.
But he had a perfect game going, and you think that the nerves got to him? They threw it.
Almost
threw it behind him and hit low and behind him.
I think he was amped out.
I didn't see that. Did they show him in the dugout? Was everybody... Sometimes when that happens, everybody separates from him, and it makes the pitcher that much more nervous is what I've always heard.
Well,
same thing happens when you're bowling, and the guys are just about to hit a 300. Everybody separates from the guy. My son was that close to it. He was he was in the 10th frame. His first one was a strike, and then... But everybody kept going. He says, the further it went and everybody kept backing away from me, the more nervous I got because people weren't talking. They weren't treating me like normal. And the next one, he didn't get the strike, and then he picked up the spare. He was that close to a 300 game.
Wow.
But he kind of credits that to the fact that everybody backed away from him and made him that much nervous.
He obviously was amped up. Rendon.
Amped up, okay.
Yeah, he was amped up, and he threw one inside to Perez, Roberto Perez, the catcher, and he hit him flush right on it. It wasn't even close. He got plunked right on the ankle, and he limped down to first base, and I guess they exchanged some pleasantries. Really, I mean I think Roberto Perez says good try or something in Spanish to the pitcher. And
how long has Roberto Perez been here?
I think this is fourth or fifth year.
In the U.S.?
He was back up to Yan Gomes for a couple of years, and then Yan Gomes went to...
I'm just curious because he still does not either know the language or pretends he doesn't know the language.
Oh, Roberto Perez does.
Oh, Roberto Perez does.
Who? Oh, yeah.
Ramirez.
Ramirez, yes.
He's been here longer than that.
Yeah. Puerto Rico is where Roberto Perez, and a lot of times they take a lot of English from the very get-go in Puerto Rico since they're territory of the United States.
So you think he's...
Sandy Alomar.
I always thought Manny Ramirez was a guy... that didn't speak any English because they never talked to him.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden I heard him on some national show, and he was speaking fine English.
Oh, he was on, Jay Leno's show, because he's a big car nut.
Okay.
And I was expecting this really heavy Hispanic accent. No, he was fine. He was fine. But a lot of them like to speak it's their first language is Spanish, and I have no problem with them doing that. But Jose Ramirez is having some difficulty, and there's a few other ones that do too. They stick with their second language in interviewing, and we'll see how Jose. He needs to get Babbel or something. You know?
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Have you tried that? I know somebody who's tried. Somebody got a free year worth of lessons from Babbel, and they says, I do this, and I get so maybe I don't do it regular enough, but I get there and I learn a few things, and then all of a sudden I got to go back to first lesson again. So
well, I took 2 years of Spanish in college, mm-hmm. and I was abysmal at it. I was just bad. And what it was, a lot of these people who took Spanish in high school, well, this is an easy A, right, for beginning Spanish and intermediate Spanish. So mm-hmm. after like the two or third class, they started speaking Spanish. In beginning Spanish, the instructor. And I was clueless. The only thing I took was Latin for a half a semester in high school. And I didn't grasp it, but it was required for a liberal arts major to get 2 years of a language in. So I had to take it. There was no getting around it. But I plugged away, and I really didn't do well the very first. It was quarter system back then.
Right, right.
So I flunked it. I flunked it. I had to take it again. And so I managed C's. I really managed C's with the help of a group of us who didn't understand this very well. But we got each other's back, and we worked hard, and I got through the 2 years. And I think at the time, if I took it over again, that F would drop from my point average, which helped. And I got a C, so from a C to an F, and or F to a C. So, but I can read Spanish better than I can speak it. And then I got one of these Learn at Home discs where you progress and everything.
Right, right.
I did it for a good 3 or 4 months, pretty regularly. Then I drifted off, and there was nobody I'm using it with.
Right, right.
And that's the thing. If
you don't use it, you're not going to learn it. Yeah.
No. So, but I can pick up reading it better. And but if you go someplace, they speak probably just because you're not aware of it, but. They speak awfully fast, but we're probably speaking as fast as they are. Our perspective, boy, they speak fast.
I've only done it once, and I had a friend of mine who spoke Spanish. She says, I need this written out phonetically. And after we recorded the sketch, because mm-hmm. it was like the gardener who was Spanish who didn't understand any English. Mm-hmm. So he and I were talking. Neither of us understood it. And he was sounded better with it than I did, which is okay because wasn't supposed to. But when he saw the video, he chuckled and said, well, that's almost close enough. So,
yeah, it's like I said, it's if you're not born into it, it's hard. If you're going to learn Spanish, do it when you're young. Your brain is more pliable. That's why they start them now so young to learn a language. Some, like Israel, requires everybody to take Hebrew in their immersion program. If you come over and you're Jewish, you're an automatic citizen of Israel. But some of them come from countries that don't speak Hebrew.
Right.
And you're in these, you talk about a lot. I was over there. And there's no way in the world I would ever pick up that language. It's just very, very difficult. So the French, I just love listening to. I could be chewed out in French and love it. They just have this is a beautiful language. And German is just harsh.
German is always, they can be saying thank you and it sounds like they're yelling at you. Yeah.
Russian's not easy too. They have a kind of a different alphabet. A lot of it's the same alphabet we have, but they add some funky symbols to it. And no, Spanish is probably the easiest foreign language to pick up other than Pig Latin. You know what I mean, Nate? Canadian, I can speak fluent.
Yeah, we can. A? Yeah. So, put the A on the end of every sentence, eh?
So I don't know. We got into the subject of languages, but baseball, you know, Hugh Chang, who is from Taiwan.
Yeah, Taiwan, Taiwanese, and you've got Korean and Japanese.
You know what was disgusting? You know, Hugh Chang made a throwing error against in the loss last Monday, and he got he received a whole bunch of racist communication. Well, what's with people?
You think he didn't feel bad enough about it without being...
He made a wrong decision. He should have just got the guy at home. I mean, at first base. But
he tried to get the
double play.
The double player cutting off the lead runner.
So we split in Chicago. I was pretty happy with that performance, other than
We had two errors in that.
Yeah,
that game that we lost basically in the ninth inning.
And Shane Bieber pitched Rendon pitched that beautiful game on Tuesday. Then Bieber came back on Wednesday, I believe, and pitched a stellar ball game. We won that 2-0. He was really on, and then he was on his game again on Sunday. Now we should have taken 2 out of 3against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's not a pushover. They're leading their division.
What I'm saying is, the first game Friday night, we got blown out of the water.
Yeah, 10 to...
Yeah, it was Logan Allen started, and he started. I don't know about him, but... and then the guys that mop-up crew didn't do much better than he did. And so we lost that game pretty handily. But Saturday night, we were ahead 3-2. And... it was a 4 o'clock game, so it was late afternoon Saturday. And... two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Everything's looking great. You know, a routine ground ball goes to Josh Naylor, who is playing first. It goes right between his legs.
Right between his
legs. And you knew then, that's it. Something's going to happen now. And sure enough, they tied the game. And then the next inning.
Extra inning rule that I hate, where they start a guy on second base.
Yeah.
He, you know, sacrificed the guy to third. And then any kind of opportunity to get home.
Yeah, but
home.
We had that same opportunity.
I still don't like it. I consider that cheating. Now, Major League Baseball doesn't. The teams that win with it don't. But I think it's a cheap win. It's like you didn't earn the win. That's just the way I'm. I know I'm an oddball, but that's the way I feel.
Well, I agree with that.
I feel.
I agree.
That's the first thing he's agreed with me all week. But I feel it's wrong. I feel like it's a cheap win. It's not a real win, and I know it is. But it's a cheap win. You didn't really earn it. That's just the way I feel about it.
Well, that's what we do in softball. If we're after senior softball, after 7 innings, you're tied. You get a guy in second.
And
the next thing they're going to do,
this isn't softball.
And the next thing
he's a professional player.
I understand. I guess they want to avoid the 15, 16, 17, 18 games.
Inning games?
And that's the way to do it. What are they going to do next? If it goes 12 innings, they're going to put people on second and third?
Or first and second,
I mean, come on. I don't know. I've loosened up a little bit on that one. I'm not as adamantly against
I have not. And I know you did by the end of the year last year, but it's just a rule that they've agreed to. I'm just never going to like it.
Is the rule about having a pitcher come in and throw to three batters still in effect?
I don't know if they actually got that through or not.
I don't know. I think it is.
You still have to throw to three batters?
Yeah.
I think some people have been pulled before that, haven't they?
I have to look that up.
Unless it's the end of an inning.
Yeah, obviously.
If it's the end of an inning, they could bring somebody in. Yeah. I mean, so if he was brought in after two outs and the guy faces one batter and he finishes the inning, then they can bring in somebody else.
I think it still is. I think Oliver Perez came in and he had to face three batters. He got them all out once. But then he gave up the winning run at the extra. Of course, it's hard. I mean, all you need, if you're a home team and you kept the away team from scoring at the top of the inning, a walk, a bunt, and a single. Or not even that. You can have a bunt against the guy over third and throw no no hits at all.
Right. Yeah. A deep fly. A deep fly wins you the game.
Yeah.
Even though it's, even though nobody got a hit. Yeah.
You got to watch out for those deep flies too.
You do, because you know they get really big sometimes.
Yeah, huge fly.
And they bite. They bite.
They eat the whole hot dog out of your hand.
They will.
These big flies.
Big flies. Yeah.
Darn. So.
Big deep flies.
But our hitting woes are. Yeah.
But isn't that what we're going to get with what we got?
No,
I mean, didn't Terry Pluto allude to that in one of his articles last week?
He did, and so did Marla Rittenhouwer a week before, saying the bad hitting is related to the very low payroll. You have Fermil Reyes. Yeah, he's a streaky hitter. I mean, it's just let's look at some of these.
Let's look at some batting averages. Now that we're getting enough at bats, it's starting to mean a little
something. Yeah, we're into the season enough where we can look at these batting averages. Jordan Luplo leads the team with a batting average of .250.
Leads the team?
Yes, leads the team.
.250.
Oh, I'm sorry, Naylor, too. Naylor is .250. Josh Naylor, the guy who let the ball go between his legs.
Oh, okay.
You see, if you didn't see that play, it was routine. We could have made it. I mean, I'm serious. It was that easy of a ground ball. He just looked up because he was going to run to the first base and tag the bag, and he looked up before he got the ball. It's a very, very amateur mistake. It shouldn't have been. I guess first base is his natural position.
Really?
So not anymore. Because these games mean something.
They do.
I mean, if you make an error like Hugh Chang did, a error of commission rather than omission, it's still, when you get down to the last few games of the season, it does always seem to me that one or two or three games is the difference between making the playoffs and not. So the games in April mean just as much as they do in September.
Yes. And everybody says, well, it's early, but you can't say that. Every game, because how many times does it come down to one or two games at the end of the season?
That's
so
right. Every
game is important. You don't want to say, this is a do or die game, but every game is important, and you have to look at it that way because how many times, like I said, does it come down to the end of the season? Just one or two games means the difference between a playoff
or playoffs.
I didn't say we were in the playoffs. I just said it makes a difference between a playoff and not a playoff.
And we got to take advantage of these wins now, because you got Minnesota, who's having a tough start with 6-8, and Chicago is 8-8. So
we have the Yankees in this week. Yankees have the worst record in the American League right now. The worst.
5-10.
So let's hope we can take advantage of that.
Well, we got to take advantage of our cold weather, because it's going to be very cold.
Well, it's cold in New York, too.
I don't think it's that cold.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's cold.
It's cold.
It's cold.
Anyway, batting average.
Yeah. You got me distracted.
Sorry.
You are an oddball.
I am a distraction.
Cesar Hernandez, our second baseman, .161. This is all current.
.161.
Jose Ramirez, our hope for this year, is .232. Well, that'll go up, but Fermil Reyes, .235. Ahmad Jimenez, .235. Eddie Rosario, .245, he's up there. The other Rosario, .194. Hugh Chang, .231. Bowers, he was in there because they didn't keep the designated hitter in the National League this year, right?
And that was
so exciting to watch these pitchers hit.
Well, and that's what, if they got the extra playoff games, then that's what they said. Then we'll turn this into a permanent thing, a DH in both leagues, and they yep. didn't get it. So yeah. so you don't have DH in the National League.
So you got Josh Naylor at 250. So we're just not going to be a very good hitting ball team, especially if Ramirez and Reyes and Rosario don't lead the pack with this team. Now, occasionally, like one day they won, they had 11 runs or something like that. But how about four? Just give me four with this pitching staff.
Give me four and then give me five tomorrow.
Yeah, you know it's just...
Don't give me two and then none the next day, you know?
And then the three...
Ten, then none, then two, then one, then four, yeah, then, you know, come on.
They're not consistent. I know it's early, but these games, like we have said, are just as important now as they are in September. And then we lost that game with the triple play. That was the same one that Naylor had the ball go right through his legs.
Yeah.
I am impressed with this Class A as a reliever. I mean, he comes in there, he does a nice job, and he should have picked up the save, but Naylor's error opened up the door. And you knew it was going to happen. You just one of those things, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you see something give, that you obvious.
You can't give a team. Cincinnati is a good team. They're leading
good team.
The league in hitting and batting and average. You can't give a team like that an opportunity. So we did. And sure enough, they came back, tied it, and ended up winning. So, but they're about where I thought they would be, about a little over 500.
Kansas City's in first place, are they not? And
yeah,
we're basically just about tied with the White Sox, I think. White Sox are 8-8, we're 8-7, and Kansas City's 9-5.
Yeah, I don't. It is early, but we have to take advantage of these wins to build a cushion against some of these teams. And Minnesota and Chicago are favored neck and neck to win the division.
Right. So, and when they're struggling, then you got it.
That's right.
It's so weird you're having a two-game series. They have Monday off, then they have a two-game series with Chicago, then the Yankees come in.
Yeah. Now, isn't that great? We're watching the New York Yankees, the premier draw of the...
Not that they're allowed to fill the stadium.
Well, they're going to be able to go to 40% next month in May. That just came out.
Okay.
So about 16,000. But they're not even getting their... They're not even getting the 30%. Who's going to go out to a game like tomorrow when it's only going to be in the 40s?
Yeah.
And then Thursday it's going to be snowing.
Yeah.
And the premier draw for the Cleveland Indians this year is the Yankees, and we're playing them when it's in the 40s, 50s, and maybe hopefully by the end of the weekend in the low 60s. But it's miserable weather. They got plenty of tickets available because, first of all, it's kids are still in school.
Right.
And maybe Saturday game will have more on Sunday. But Thursday and Friday on a weekday in April with horrible weather, the biggest draw that they can get is going to be mitigated by these conditions. And it's a shame. Whoever made the schedule did Cleveland Indians wrong once again. So... We'll see, but
then you know what? Again, because of all the cutbacks that they've had on this team, we are already struggling, and you know occasionally we see a little bit of firepower, but you know we had one night where you had three home runs,
yeah,
and that all of our runs came off those home runs, and you know he. Generally, he who lives by the home run dies by the home run because you'll run up against the pitching that can stop you.
Well, so far...
And so far, everybody's been stopping us anyway.
So far, though, Bieber has been outstanding, as predicted. He beat... He's
tied with Nolan Ryan, I think.
He has, but he is the only pitcher in Major League history to start out the season with the first four... games he pitched with 10 or more home runs. First ever. He's in the same
strikeouts.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Strikeouts. And
he's had how many games where he's had 8 strikeouts or more? It extends into last year.
This young man is a once-in-a-generation pitcher and apparently is not a flash in the pan. We were always concerned that he would be. But and he's willing to stay here, and they haven't even
offered an extension.
You know, because, I mean, because we, you know, in 2 or 3 more years, when arbitrary,
you're not going to be able to touch him, and he's going to say, "Well, you didn't do anything."
No, in 3 years from now, well, he's going to start being arbitration eligible here soon. He's probably only making about $1 million a year or less.
Probably just, less, yeah.
Yeah, probably over just over the minimum.
And what a shame for. I mean, he was the Cy Young winner, and he won in every category.
Yeah, unanimous.
Cy and he Young was unanimous, right?
And
yet.
And he says, I'm open to an extension and crickets. So here we are training. We're going to enjoy him for 4 or 5 years. Then he becomes arbitration eligible. And the arbitrator is going to say, you know what? This guy's worth $17 million a year. And guess what? We'll trade him. We'll trade him for prospects.
Yep.
Because they're not going to pay. It's just, you know, we've had this discussion ad nauseum, but... the Dolans are good people. There's no doubt about it. But they try to live within their means, and they can't. All we're doing is producing good players for other teams to get eventually. And it's a shame. Now, so far, Lindor has not set the world on fire in New York. Maybe he will. But right now, he's only had one extra base hit the whole season with the Mets. Of course, they've lost. I mean, they stopped a lot of games because their opponents have had COVID, and that's still a factor.
Right. It is still a factor. It's still a factor.
People, it's still out there. And I think there was 2 games postponed on Sunday as a result of COVID-19. So we're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. And you talk about close...
These are professional athletes.
Yeah. And I think... they've all been vaccinated or shortly will be since it's open to everybody now.
Right.
16 and over. And please get it if you haven't. But it's just a shame that that the Johnson one has had some minor difficulties. Because people are going to use
that. Even Dr. Fauci says that'll be back really soon. It just, you know, the numbers are so minuscule.
One out of a million.
And they don't know that is even necessarily related to the shot. And that's what they have to check because, you know, but again, the numbers are so minuscule on that, you know.
And they're small, too.
They are, besides being minuscule. And it is supposed to be, if not this week, next week, it should be back in use again. Which is makes it rough because they were trying to get all the students before they went back home to get the one shot. Now they're doing the 2 shots, but the students will be gone by the time the second shots are coming around.
Well, there may be some conditional use of the Johnson one, like all these, the 6 people that got were women, and they may have something to do in conjunction with birth control pills. And they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. They'll limit it to who can get it. Maybe people over 30 instead of people under 30. Who knows? I guess we'll have to look. One unfortunate case led to a death. But literally one out of a million. I mean, you can say I got hiccups as a result.
Was that the Cincinnati one?
I'm not sure.
Because there was one in Cincinnati that the day after the kid died, but he was a young person and they don't know.
Oh, it had to be a she because all of them were women.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there was a case in Cincinnati where a college student passed away the next day. It was a guy, and they hadn't actually linked to that. The fact is he had the shot the day before, and he was dead the next day. And they didn't say that he hadn't been out and he hadn't been doing things or anything. I mean, I haven't heard anything about it since then. Mm-hmm. But and with the internet around, you can't keep anything a hush-hush anyway.
Oh, that internet. That's what I'm so upset about with Hugh Chang. He made an error in a baseball game, and you use racial epithets against the guy. It's just, you know, the web is a tremendous tool.
It is.
But you can be anonymous, and people use that anonymity to make stupid statements about a guy's national heritage. It's just ridiculous.
It is.
I'm sure. He said, listen, I'm open to criticism. I made a dumb mistake. I should have just gotten. But to be called the names he did because he messed up, that's ridiculous. It's just, what's wrong with people? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, because they can be anonymous and do it. That's why.
Yeah, that's why.
Because they can get away with it. And
So now it's always going to be in his back of his head. I got to be perfect. I got to be perfect because I'll get these idiots out there probably giving death. I mean, death threats now are just so commonplace too.
Yes, they are.
Oh yeah, you made a mistake. And even with Jim Joyce, we talked about earlier, we're making that blown call in the perfect game.
And he got a lot of death threats over that.
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
Now, it wasn't the first right. Thing, and they, is that it, the first thing? Oh, I'm going to kill this guy because he...
Now, let me ask you this again, going back to that. Couldn't they have conference with the other umpires?
Yeah, they could have.
Even though there wasn't the replay rule in there, I think that was the time you could only use replay in the... postseason.
Yes, and for home, run,
postseason, home, but home only
runs,
in postseason.
Home runs going, home runs that were borderline home runs hit the top of the fence, or ones that go over the foul pole were the only times they could use at that time replay. But
not during the regular season, only in the postseason.
But still, he made a very bad mistake. But you so the first thing you do, I'm going to kill a guy.
I mean, you don't threaten the guy. Yeah. That's stupid. Because guess what? In the end result, it's a game.
It is a game. Of course,
it's people's livelihoods, but it's a game.
It's a game. And unfortunately for this young man who, Gagliarraga, I believe is his name. He didn't get the notoriety and being famous for doing that, he should have, because and Jim Joyce the next day, much to his credit, faced the press and in tears.
Yes,
said I looked at it and I made a huge mistake. But I don't know baseball. I think in this case, baseball should have made an exception and said, listen, the decision, we're going to consider that a perfect game.
Yeah, and because
why not do that?
People appeal games, and it doesn't usually change anything.
No,
but. In a case like that, that was that deliberate for that much of an item, and that was the only hit I think in that game.
That was it.
And since the game was over, other than that, and that was it, and that was wrong. The Major League Baseball should have overturned it. Well, they have the power to overturn.
Well, sure, they have the power to do it, but they didn't want to set a precedent saying, okay, every time there's a controversial call. We're going to go back after the game.
But every time after a controversial call or a really bad call, the game is played technically under protest and it's appealed to Major League Baseball. They just don't do anything about it. This is a case they should have appealed and something should have been done about it.
Yeah, now. That was, I still feel sorry for that guy.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, because, this was...
Because this
he was not a great pitcher.
No.
He was a good average pitcher, but this was his game of his lifetime. Yeah.
And Rondon is a good pitcher.
Yes, he is.
And I was rooting for him for his perfect game. I really was. It's so rare.
Yeah.
With all the tens of hundreds of thousands of games through history, there's only been relatively few perfect games.
Yes.
And a no-hitter is nothing to sneeze at either.
No, it is not.
That's quite an accomplishment. He was really on. So, I don't know. But now he would have gotten this. That's what my point is. He would have had a perfect game now.
Yes, he would have had one.
So,
but it was. But that wasn't a bad call. It was a bad throw for him.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, I don't know if you saw the article, too, about how the NFL, who was so opposed to betting on games, is now made a deal with Caesars and FanDuel and DraftKings They're going to cooperate with those gambling.
Cooperate to do what?
They're going to make tapes available, and it was NFL signs bet deals with Caesars, FanDuel, and DraftKings. So they are recognizing that since the Supreme Court in May of 2018 cleared the way for off-track legal sports betting, I guess the NFL is, and baseball's doing it too.
Yes.
I mean, look at who's now broadcasting the games. Bally's.
Yeah.
Bally's of Great Lakes Bally's. Bally's no longer Sports Time Ohio.
I didn't register Bally's with the gambling casinos. I stupidly thought of it with these exercise places.
You are an oddball.
I honestly didn't put that together.
They were out of business. They've been out of
business
for 40 years.
That's what I thought. Is it? Wow. They're back.
I've gambled at Bally's before.
Okay.
And
I honestly had. Yeah, it was Bally's Great Lakes. That's
Bally's Cincinnati, Bally's Detroit, Bally's. But they signed a deal with Sinclair Broadcasting to kind of give the games the networks the Bally's name. Bally's doesn't own it, but they like a stadium, like Progressive Field.
Right.
It's not their field, but they named it. So the networks named it.
Oh, so the networks sold their naming rights?
That's right. Sinclair sold the naming rights to Bally's. And they're getting ready for more betting, which is such a... Baseball's going to do the same thing as football. They're going to get in bed with these gambling
institutions. But yet Pete Rose is still going
to
be better.
That's what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
What an injustice now. What's their excuse? You're starting to align with Bally's and Caesars and DraftKings and FanDuel's, and you're not going to let this guy in the Hall of Fame because he gambled?
Yeah. And here's the thing about that. Bart Giamatti suspended Pete, said, look, you're going to be suspended in 2 years, reinstate, and we'll get you reinstated. And then he died after a year. And so everybody else has stuck to this lifetime ban with as much, and every year has gotten closer, inch closer to working with, accepting advertising from gambling companies and everything else. They've accepted the money, and they will, with this, it looks like they're doing more than just accepting money. They're feeding them stuff.
Yeah.
So they're working directly with gamblers and gambling houses.
Yes.
And they still keep Pete Rose out.
Well, he's been out of the game so long, a lot of people don't know who he is, but he was the best hitter. He had more hits than
anybody else in the history of baseball.
And he's not an angel.
He is not.
But he certainly...
And he wasn't an angel when he played either.
No, but he
played hard.
But he certainly was a better person than Ty Cobb, who was an out-and-out racist.
Yes.
And he's allowed... And they haven't retroactively taken him out of the Hall of Fame.
No.
It's just, you know, Pete's getting up there. He's got to be close to 80, at least.
Yeah, I would say so.
And it would be such an injustice that 5 or 10 years from now, they said, oh, yeah, we changed our mind. He's dead. And we're going to do it posthumously. It would just be, come on, let him into the Hall of Fame. Let him.
Nobody
in.
Played the game harder than Pete Rose did.
No. Charlie Hustle.
Charlie Hustle, and he got that from when he was in Little League, and he got walked, and he walked to first base, and his dad yelled at him, "I don't ever want to see you walk to first base again, ever. Mm-hmm. When you get walked, you run there," and that's what he did his entire life. He did everything full force,
and obviously his father had
some of the most exciting face first base slides in the history of the game.
Well, I remember one All-Star game. He ran head first into Ray Fosse, our catcher, in an All-Star game, and shortened his career. That the impact.
He came back
All-Star
to play,
game.
But it wasn't the
in an All-Star game too. Yeah. So. Couple other things with the Brown. They did sign Jadeveon Clowney.
They did.
Yeah.
We talked about he was in town for And you said he would probably be given an offer before. It was basically an $8 million contract with $2 million in incentives.
Right. So
because he has trouble making it through the whole season with injuries.
Yeah. But
And then they released Danny Shelton.
No, it was not. Danny Shelton's been gone for a few years.
Well, who's that they released?
They released Sheldon Richards.
Shelton Richardson, I'm sorry.
Danny Shelton hasn't been around for
Yeah, he hasn't.
Have you been watching?
Shelton, I knew there was some.
Me TV again.
This is the guy you know with an S.
My friend Flicka Festival was on, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
His contract was, once my friend Flicka Festival starts coming on,
are oblivious to reality.
Yeah. But he had a $14 million contract.
Yeah.
And they wanted the cap space.
They did. What's going to happen with him, they think, is that he's going to go out there in the market and try to get the contract he had before. And if he doesn't, he may come back to the Browns at a lesser price. That's the speculation, anyway, because they liked him. And boy, if they like you, I like to see how if they didn't like you.
Yeah, if they didn't like you.
So they cut this guy. I thought it was unnecessary because they still have cap space and
they did. Yeah.
And it would have been
still
nice.
They still do, and most of the work they're going to be doing now is through the draft.
Yeah. So Clowney, along with Myles Garrett and some of the changes, they have really worked on the defensive side of the line.
They have pushed the defensive side of the line as they really worked on offensive the year before.
I mean, so-called experts are saying Browns should win at least 11 games out of 17. I think it could be 12. I mean, that's too early for really to make a judgment. But
and they're not going
to
be doing the in-person training camps again this year.
No, because it made it voluntary too.
They were voluntary before, but they're voluntary. But you better be there.
Now it's voluntary, and they're not coming.
And now, yeah.
And I can't blame them. I mean, now they're going to go to 17 games, and they want off-season training activities, OTAs, and give me a break. Wait, in April you're going to have these few days of training, and then.
But again, that hurts the teams with the new coaches and the new like it hurt us last year, and it took us several weeks before as they were finally got together and finally got the practice.
But they'll have the camps now. They'll have the camps and they'll have a couple of three preseason games. So the fine tuning is really held there, and then everybody starts the rookies.
But with three games, you only have two games that will be meaning anything.
Well, of course,
with starters in the last game. Will always be to see who's going to make this team and who isn't.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a starter, you really want to be with 17 plus 3. It's 20 games.
No, I understand. I understand.
I'm just saying. Some of these guys, like Doug Deacon and who was it? Our outstanding offense, Joe. Somehow these guys escaped the preseason games, you know.
My back's sore.
I'm gonna go on the bicycle, stationary bike, and all the stars are all on the sideline. On the
groin's a little tight.
Joe Thomas.
Or they go into a contract dispute.
Yeah.
Even though they already have a contract, and it's funny how it just always ends like a week and a half before the first game.
You know, Joe Thomas doesn't know how to play offensive tackle, or Doug Deacon, or some of these other star players. You don't want them being banged up, because football is a rough game. All you need is one guy, even from your own team, sliding into your knee.
How many players get knocked out for the season in a preseason game?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. It happens in baseball, too. Not to the extent, but some guy, blows out a knee. It does happen. So why take the chance? So, again, the hypocrisy of these sports, fighting it so hard not to have gambling, and then that just floored me when I saw that happening. But I guess I'm glad they got Clowney. And Sheldon Richardson did a really good job with the defense, but you know, money conquers all, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the salary cap was actually lowered this year because where it usually goes up, but it was lowered this year because there weren't as many fans in the stands, so there's less money. Which isn't less money because they get more, so much more unbelievable contracts, including the Thursday night game. Now, unless it's in your hometown, it's your hometown team, is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, some of these movies that are coming out too. I mean, there's a movie with Tom Hanks called Greyhound.
Funny, he doesn't look it.
Huh?
He doesn't look it.
No, it's about. It's a really good book. It's about a convoy captain protecting merchandise ships in World War II. But it's on Apple Plus.
It's the only place it's shown on Apple Plus.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't have Apple Plus. It's just, you know, it's just, maybe now, I guess, Regal Theaters are finally going to.
They're finally going to open up next month here, which is week not in Akron, but I think the second week, like the 14th.
Didn't the Academy Awards happen last night?
That was Country Music Awards.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Academy Awards. That's maybe the Academy of Country Music, maybe.
Country Music Awards, yes.
And, you know, we didn't even talk about the March Madness champions.
And if we don't now, we won't.
Because you know why? It just was a blowout. It was not even.
It was.
It was over by halftime.
And Gonzaga, who was hoping for the
Gonzaga, I take penicillin for that.
What's that?
Gonzaga's. Isn't that a disease?
No, Gonzaga. No, that's gonorrhea.
Oh, okay.
You're close, but
are we done?
Almost.
Well, anyway, Baylor won handily. That was. We didn't even talk about it. That's how boring of a game it was.
Which is why we didn't take, sometimes for national championship games, we take off that night so we could talk about it.
That's right.
I'm glad we didn't, because that would have been,
that would have been ticked.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, we got to play through the snow this week, and hopefully the Indians will.
Warm up their bats. You know, but again, as it gets cold, it's harder to hit.
It is.
And when you do hit, it hurts.
Strange weather. We had beautiful weather like for 2 weeks, 70s and even 80 and high 60s. And now as we get deeper into April, it gets worse.
Well,
it's not supposed to be that way.
Literally on Good Friday, I was scraping my windshield. And then on Easter Sunday, it was 65 degrees. You know, that's welcome to Ohio.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Ohio.
Well, I wonder.
We can bring it in. Bring it in.
Bring it in.
We got time, but.
Oh, congratulations to the new Kent State has a new athletic director. I was going to mention that. Who is this guy? You know,
what's his name? Yeah.
Richmond.
Yeah.
Randall Richmond.
Record Courier just had a really nice article. Yeah. I think it ended up in the Beacon as well, but yeah.
So good for him. So are you ready for a pun?
We are ready for a pun.
You are an odd
pun. A pun. Boy, I just washed my mouth out with soap, and I can't do a thing with it.
Did you hear that the frog left his car illegally parked?
The frog did?
Yeah, it was towed away.
Oh, and it should be, as you should be for that pun. And I guess...
Wait till I got some more coming next time.
I can hardly wait.
Well, you get what you pay for. I have said that many times.
Okay, well, I'll take these then. Right. That's it. We're going to see you next week. Through the snow and the slush
and the sunshine.
And the sunshine.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more Sports Sidebar. Mm-hmm.